Hello and welcome to Just Markets 365, your one-stop shop for investment news and analysis. Well, I hope you're all having a wonderful day. We had another up day here in the markets, and markets were up across the board. We had the Dow, that was up about 115 points or 0.4%. The S&P was up about 0.5%, actually almost 0.6% at 2850. And the NASDAQ was up about over 1% today. So we had a pretty good day across the board. And it was largely due to the fact that we had some news come out from the Trump administration about delaying tariffs on automobiles. And this is something we talked about yesterday as one of the major headwinds for the market and the economy as a whole. And we talked about the fact that, you know, if you are going to have tariffs, with China, and then you're talking about putting tariffs on automobiles, imports from Europe, those are really, really going to affect, the U.S. economy, because the automobiles are one of the largest ticket items that an average person purchases in their lifetime. And if they become more expensive, that is not a good thing for the U.S. economy. And the automobile sector is a great multiplier for jobs. So this is a really, really good sign. That's how you saw the market actually rebound today. It didn't start on a positive note, but then after this news came out, then it did become positive for the day. So that was a good sign. There's a few things we'll get into today. We will get into some of the economic indicators that came out today. We will get into some of the market action today in terms of price action, and I think those are the only a few things we'll talk about. When it comes to the economic indicators, we'll talk about the retail sales, both regular retail sales, then ones that exclude autos. We'll talk about the industrial production. We'll talk about the capacity utilization number that came out today. So all these numbers are for April, for last month. And then lastly, the only positive number that came out today was the home builder index, which came in much better than expected. So those are some of the economic indicators we'll talk about. And then I also want to talk about the mortgage rates and things like that later on. So, all right, let's get into it. So the retail sales numbers that came out today were pretty, unexpected, meaning in a negative way. We had an expectation that retail sales would just be flat, maybe coming at 0.1%. And because the last reading for March was, it was up 1.7%, the market really liked that. But this number for April came in at negative 0.2, so 20 basis points on towards the downside. So retail sales did not do well, but if you exclude autos out of it, it still declined 0.1%. So what we're seeing is that the retail sector, the consumer out there is definitely not spending the way they spent last year. So if you want to just talk about some behavior of the consumer last year, we saw, so if you look at the past five numbers, right? So we're looking at April, March, February, January, and December. The last five data points for this number, two were positive and the three are negative. So if you're averaging that out, that is not a solid sign for the consumer. This means that the consumer is a little worried about their expenditures, and they're not spending as much as we want them to in order to support this economy. Now, there is some noise in this data. You know, we had the government shutdown, we had a lot of things that were going on. So, you know, definitely there are reasons why this could be the case, but I don't want to make any excuses. But the fact is that the retail sector doesn't look that strong right now. And that is a area of worry that I would say that puts my mind at caution about this economy as a whole. When you have the manufacturing sector and the retail sector really really in a weakness area, it really, really affects everything. So just getting into a few more things that, you know, we had the electronic stores that were, that their sales declined by 1.3%. We had the home and garden sectors that also declined by almost 2%. And you had your internet retailers like Amazon and Walmart, you know, they had their sales also declined by 0.2%. So you're looking at every sector across the board that was really, really weak. The only area that where this there was an increase was at the gas station, right? And that was up 1.8%. But that's mostly because you had higher gas prices. And that is why you're seeing that happen. And that's probably not a good sign, because if consumers are spending more money on gas, they're going to spend less money on everything else, right? You know, if somebody has only a certain amount of disposable income, their discretionary cash flow is going to be affected by that. And that's what you're seeing here right now. So now let's get into the industrial production number for April. The number was expected to decline by 0.1%, and the number actually declined by 0.5%. So almost 4 or 5 times the number that was expected. And this is a major, major disappointment. You know, we saw that, and that was also... this number is also coupled with the capacity utilization number, which also fell, and that number came in at about 77.8. The last number was 78.5. So we're seeing a lot of weakness in the economy when it comes to the retail sector, and now we're seeing it from the industrial sector. Also, you know, a lot of the drop was from automotive factories, the chemical products factories, and some of the energy products. And so that's not a good sign. That's a sign that I would say that it would worry me, you know, about this market and about the economy as a whole. And I'll tell you, after I read through all these economic indicators, what I feel now. Chances of a recession, but definitely I would say that, you know, these are not all good signs. And so a lot of the manufacturers and these retaliatory tariffs that we have been putting in place are the ones that are a direct cause for this number to be weak. And there's no two ways about it. And this is what we're seeing. This is what the market has been worried about. This is what I've been worried about. And now we're seeing it in the data, and it seems like it's going to get worse because we have just raised the tariffs. And not only that, we're going to add additional tariffs, seems like, if we're not going to get a deal that we want. So it is definitely an area of worry for me, and it should be an area of worry for you as an investor in the stock market. And I think that you should be very, very mindful when you're investing in which areas you're investing in. Now, the last point or the last data point I want to talk about today is the Home Builder Index. The last data point, I believe, for April, this number was 63, and the May reading is at 66. So this number is actually pretty interesting. It came in much stronger than estimated. And the builder sentiment is important because it tells you on how home builders are feeling about the economy and the demand for housing. And if you go back a few years in 2016 to 2017, you know, 2016, the number had been going up, or, you know, give or take on the average since the Great Recession. And in December 2018, the sentiment changed, and that was primarily due to mortgage rates, right? Mortgage rates, if you remember last year, they were somewhere around in the threes. And October of last year, the 10-year treasury was trading about 3.23, is at 2.38 now, so almost 100 basis points difference, right? And the 7 and the 10-year U.S. Treasury debt number, the yield number, is usually correlated to the mortgage rates that an average person pays. So when those rates rise, mortgage rates will also rise, right? So when those rates come down, so will the mortgage rates. So the fact that we had a top over there in these treasury yields in October of last year, the builder sentiment really took a hit. And it topped out in the beginning of last year, and then bottomed out towards the end of last year, right? So, and then since really December of 2018 last year, the number has now rebounded. Now, this is a good sign, you know, where we have, you know, the automobile sector still getting weaker and the annual sales numbers still don't look as strong as we want them to be. It is a good sign that the home builder sentiment is looking better every day and it's improving. And now I just want to see on how the existing home sales numbers come out, and then so we can make a picture of, you know, and that sentiment and the Case-Shiller index on all those, so we can have a good idea on what the housing market looks at, you know, on or what it looks like historically. More often than not, the direction of the housing market determines the direction of the economy as a whole. Now, there have been instances like in the early 90s where you had a housing market, you know, early 90s, you know, you saw that the housing market, you know, was suffering, and so was the economy. In my experience, in my my history or the history that I've learned, the only 2001 recession was one that where you didn't have a decline in housing, but you had a recession that lasted for about two quarters, right? So that was the only time I can remember when we had a recession without the housing market declining. So that's why I put a lot of weight in this data point here. Now, like I said, lower mortgage rates are definitely helping, but that may be offset by higher labor costs and higher material costs as we're putting more tariffs on steel and aluminum and imports and things like that. So all those can be offset somewhat by these additional input costs. But the overall number looks good. And I think that's a good sign for the economy as a whole. But this is of all the economic indicators that came out today, I would say this was probably the only one that had a positive, note to it, and the rest of them were actually quite weak. And because, you know, the economy is being affected by tariffs, and that's why you saw as I mentioned earlier in this podcast, that the Trump administration has pulled its tariffs or is going to delay its tariffs on automobiles, is because they probably saw these numbers that are about to come out and said, hey, this is not a good sign. If they wouldn't have announced that delay, I think you could have seen a decline in the market today in upwards of 1 or 2%, right? So I think that that is what happened today. Now, it scares me again, and I've talked about it to death, on how much, you know, the Trump administration has power over this market and how much a tweet can affect this market. And one of the headwinds that I talked about yesterday was a tweet storm issue, right? Is what is the next tweet going to do to the market? And it seems like the market is getting this behavior of really reacting to what the administration and President Trump is talking about. Now, last number, I'm just going to go quickly over, because we went into this number in detail when we talked about the GDP a few weeks ago, was the business inventories number in March was flat and there was no increase. So we saw that, you know, you had January and February has a huge rise in inventories, and in March it was flat. So this number is really delayed. It's really, you know, I would say it's not a leading indicator or a concurrent indicator. The this is a lagging indicator, right? So we have to look at other things that will come out probably this later on this week or next week to tell us on how business investment is going. Remember, GDP is C plus I plus G plus X, right? It's the C is the consumer, the consumption. I is business investment, private investment. G is government spending, federal, local, and state. And then you have the X is the import, export, net exports. If we're exporting more than we're importing, it will be a positive contribution. If it's the opposite, it's going to be a negative contribution to GDP, right? So that's how we're looking at all of this. Just want to quickly talk about some of the economic indicators that we'll talk about tomorrow and in the coming days. Tomorrow we'll have the weekly jobless claims number that should come in around 217. And the last number was about 228. Let's see where that number comes in at. We'll have the housing starts number, the building permits, and the Philly Fed manufacturing index. That's going to be key. So we'll have one number that's going to tell us about the job market, and the other two are going to tell us about the housing market. So with the looking at the retail sales number, looking at industrial production, looking at the home builder index or sentiment, and kind of mixing that in with the housing starts and building permits, we can get a good idea on where the direction of this economy is going, right? So I think that's kind of really important. Then on Friday we get the consumer sentiment index, and then we have the leading economic indicator index for April also. So we'll have to see on where that number comes in at, and that's going to be an important indicator that comes out on Friday. So we could have a pretty volatile session today and tomorrow. Tomorrow and Friday, because we have a lot of economic data fundamentals that are coming out, and they may, and most of these are not reflecting the new tariffs, right? So expect some of these data points to get worse, not better, because of the tariffs, right? Especially the manufacturing sector. All right, so now let's talk about the indexes as a whole. And the index I usually focus on is the S&P 500 index. And I think that it's important to talk about it because it's a really broad index. It includes everything globally and domestically. I consider it a global index, since something like 40% of its revenue or earnings is coming from overseas. So it's a good indicator of the global picture. And what we know about the global picture from the data from China and everything else today, we're seeing weakness globally, and tariffs are the primary reason why we're seeing a lot of that weakness. And now the market has priced in some of those tariffs, and I think the market is being overly optimistic on how well we can weather the tariffs. And and some of the data that we talked about today is prior to these new tariffs, right? So these new tariffs that were put in place, or the increase in them, are going to have additional negative impacts on these economic numbers and data points, and you can see the market react negatively. So we had a high a week and a half ago, 2 weeks ago, at about 29.54 on the S&P 500. If I were a betting man — I'm not a betting man, I'm an investor — but if I was a betting man, I would say that we'll probably see a 26.50 number on the S&P 500 before we see the 29.50 breakout. And that's because we have the earnings seasons behind us, right? We have a lot of the companies that are issuing negative guidance, meaning they're revising their numbers negatively on revenue and earnings. We have additional tariffs that are going to be in place that are going to be accounted for in the economic data. So that's an additional negative. And and a lot of the other things that we talked about yesterday as a whole. And I think that the only thing that can pop this market out of this funk that we are in currently, and mind you, since the beginning of the year, we've had a good run, right? Definitely not a negative year so far. It's not a bad year for a return, but definitely I would say that some of the profits have been made in this market, and you've seen it hit a high again. But I think that this is something that we have to think about and grapple with as investors, is that the economic picture is changing, and the technical are showing us that the sentiment is not as strong as maybe you hear it in the paper, or you read it in the paper, or you hear it on the financial entertainment channels. Things are weaker, are not as strong, and the probability of a recession is increasing day by day, because you have some fundamental weakness, and then you have weakness that is due to tariffs and other reasons, right? So just so that's why you're seeing all this. And you know, we're also seeing, the worst part is that business investment is also declining, right? Because of these tariffs. So you have the consumer being affected, you have the business, you know, environment being affected. Government spending is probably the only positive contributor so far, or major positive contributor. And of course, you could have import and exports. That's probably going to balance itself out again. And your Q2 number could be a pretty surprising weak number. That's what I'm thinking about. And I think it's a little early for me to talk about it, because we still have, we did April, we're in May and June, right? So we have May and June to look at their data points. But the way April started, I would have thought that the rebound from early this year from the government shutdown and everything else would be much stronger, and it's not that strong. And it's actually areas of the market, like manufacturing, is actually getting weaker. The expansion is still there, but we're expanding at a weaker rate. And those are all, I think, signs of worry. So in conclusion, I want to state that I think that if you're looking at it as an analogy, where, you know, I'm looking at a traffic light, and green is like the economy is strong, we're expanding, great. And yellow would be caution. Hey, we're in a really weird time where I think the risk of recession is rising and is significant now. And red would be, we are in a recession now, we just don't know it. I think we're at the yellow now. I think because of everything that we're looking at from an earnings standpoint, from interest rates to what the Fed's doing, to inflation and the tariffs and everything else out there, I think that I would say we're in the yellow light now. And I think it's really cautionary. We have to be very cautious about our investments, because if we are drifting into a recession, you can expect a 10, 15, 20% pullback in this market without a sweat. I don't think we go down 40% like we did during the Great Recession, but I think a 15, 20% pullback is possible. So my next support, I would say, on the S&P, again, going back to the number, is about 2650. And if it breaks through there, then we can go, you know, I'll talk about more, you know, if it does break through there. So hopefully it doesn't happen, but hope is not a strategy. And I expect this market to continue to kind of float negatively. And even though we've had two positive days, volumes have not been all that strong. They've been slightly weaker than the Monday volume. So I would say that I'm, you know, worried here. With that, I hope you guys enjoyed today's podcast. I wish I was more upbeat about everything. I'm not, but I'm going to be, you know, as always, be honest with you on my take on this market. And I've lived through many market cycles and economic cycles, and that's kind of what everything is telling me right now. So don't expect a major positive return from the markets, except there are some positive areas. There's, you know, some, you know, like for example, the construction sector is rebounding right now. And that's an area that I would say, if you had some money to work, that's an area I would look for an investment. And that can make you some money. Maybe it's already up about 20 some odd percent. I think that's an area that you can look at and say, hey, this is an area that I can put money in and make some money, because this is rebounding because of lower mortgage rates, right? So anyways, hope you guys enjoyed it. Please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts, and follow and subscribe. If you have any questions for me about anything I discussed today or on any of the podcast, please email me at justmarkets365@gmail.com. That's JustMarkets365@gmail.com. ryan365@gmail.com. Other than that, I hope you guys have a wonderful rest of your day. Take care. Until tomorrow. Please remember, this podcast is for information purposes only, and presenters will make every effort to provide accurate information, but assumes no responsibility for accuracy. You should not construe any such information or other materials as legal, tax, investment, financial, or other advice. Past performance is not indicative of future results. Different types of investments involve varying degrees of risk, and there cannot be any assurance that the future performance of any specific investment strategy or products or non-investment related content made reference to directly or indirectly in this podcast will be profitable, equal any corresponding indicated historical performance levels, be suitable for your portfolio or individual situation, or prove successful. Due to various factors, including changing market conditions or applicable laws, the content may no longer be reflective of current opinions or positions. Moreover, you should not assume that any discussion or information contained in this podcast serves as a receipt or as a substitute for personalized investment advice from your advisor. To the extent you should have any questions regarding the applicability of any specific issues discussed, you are encouraged to consult with your professional advisor of your choosing.